particularly prominent at this time because they refer to the light and refer to the light that shines in darkness and brings us to places of light. We listen now to the first one from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, one that most of us might be familiar with, and it says this: "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord." And we hear from the Gospel of Matthew the story that brought about this idea of epiphany, of what we call the light bulb, as Candace just reminded, which speaks of darkness on the earth and then light coming in the form of the child. So we listen to Matthew. "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, 'Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.' When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." May God help us to take this, our holy scripture, and let it penetrate our hearts and help us to understand what the word has said to us this morning. I have no notes for this morning. I wrote a sermon, and then yesterday I scrapped it. It didn't feel right to me yesterday. When I put the bulletin together about 3 weeks ago before Christmas, because Denise is going to be away this week, I thought I would focus on the theme of light. In fact, this week I even borrowed a lightsaber from Connor so that I could sort of fit it into the service today. I don't even know how to work it, Connor. How does it work? And he didn't give me one that lights up, darn. I thought I could fit in the lightsaber and my little light from Christmas Eve, but it was not to be, because that's not what I chose to do this morning. Because as I was pondering the scriptures for today, something else kept niggling at me. And I thought, I need to pursue that. I need to think about that. I need to ponder that more. And I need to figure what's saying to me. It was almost like there was an epiphany on the horizon for me. And I needed to flush that out for today. So today I speak to you from no notes, because I don't have any this morning. Because what sort of was coming to me was this sense of journey. The sense that we are engaging in a new journey as we enter into a new year. And as much as we may not make New Year's resolutions, because maybe we've gotten wise enough not to do that, there's something about that threshold between the old year and the new that makes us hopeful, that makes us at least anticipate something this coming year that could be good. Maybe we've had a difficult year and we're looking forward to something better in this year. Maybe we've had a good year, but we always know that there's something that needs to change in our life that we could work on this year, that we want help with, that we want to work towards. It's like a journey. The Israelites in the story from Isaiah are in bad shape. They've had some bad years. In fact, they've been taken into exile. And they're anticipating something better on the horizon, where God's light will shine and the glory of God will surround them, and good things will come for them who wait on God. The Jewish people had spent a lot of their lives in exile, and they were looking to move towards something solid, something that would ground them, something that would be light in their lives. They were always in a place of journey. I think Connor's giving me raspberries. Speed it up, maybe you sing. But really, what particularly caught me was the story of the wise men in Scripture today. And I thought of it mostly like how we do our Bible study, where when you do Bible study, you have to dig into Scriptures to find the truth. I don't know if the Scriptures are historically factual, but I do know that they're true. And so we dig into the Scriptures to find the truth in them. So I pondered these wise men and what on earth they were doing. Why they undertook to take this very long journey toward Bethlehem. For the wise men lived in the area that we now call Iran. And they weren't wise men in the typical sense that they maybe were older and wiser and they'd gained experience in life. That's not the kind of wise men they were. They were learned men, to be sure. They read. They knew a lot. They had a lot of knowledge. They read scriptures from other traditions. They themselves, more than likely, pagans, as they were termed in that day. And they were astrologers, not astronomers. They were astrologers. They read the stars. They read what was going on in the heavens. And they tried to figure out what was the corollary on earth, because they believed that if something major was going on in the heavens, something major must be going on earth as well, that God was giving them the sign that something was going on. So I can imagine these wise men sitting around some evening going, "Did you see that star? Something major must be going on here on earth." And it seems to be pointing us to the west, somewhere in Israel. Now, we've read that the Israeli people, the Jewish people, are expecting a Messiah. Perhaps this is it. Perhaps this is what's going on. And so they talked about it for some time, what the star meant, and they decided that they would go on a journey. They would take the time it would take. Now, who would do that? Who would do that? Who would spend months looking at this star and say, "It must mean something, and we got to figure out what it is"? So they packed up their supplies. I kind of imagine that they had women helping them, because I don't know if they could pack themselves what they needed to take on this very, very, very long journey. It was going to be weeks. No, it was going to be months. No, it might have been years. They didn't know what to expect. Who would do that, not knowing what to expect on this journey? And they packed up and they got on their camels and their donkeys and whatever they had, and they journeyed across the desert for weeks and eventually months until they came to the land of Israel. And because were visiting dignitaries, wise men, so to speak, intellectuals, they went to where they might first find the answer to what they were seeking. They went to the government. They went to King Herod, perhaps expecting that he would have the answer to what they needed. Now, I'm not sure that we would go to government expecting the answers to what we need today. But that's where the wise men first went. They went to Herod, and I think this is where I got puzzled, because I'm like, this is very strange. The story later tells us that this is possibly a year or two after Jesus has been born, that they're arriving at King Herod's palace. And yet, in the story, it says that Herod knows nothing of it. That he has no clue that this baby has been born. That this person they call the King of the Jews, which they would have known about at least the story, he knew nothing of it. We read in our story that there had been angels and shepherds showing up and all kinds of things happening on and stars in the sky and all those kinds of things, but Herod knew nothing of it. It is sometimes the case that when we have power, we're blind. We don't see what's right in front of us. And Herod hadn't seen it, nor had his wise men seen it. So he called them together and he said, "Where can these guys go? We don't know anything about this, but if you find out something about it, would you come back and tell us about it? Because we want to know about it too." The wise men were wise enough to figure out they weren't too thrilled about this whole thing. They weren't too excited, because when somebody comes to thwart power, the power isn't too excited about that. So off they went. And lo and behold, up until this point, all that we know is they probably hadn't seen the star for some time. They saw it at its rising, and they took off just on that sign. And they didn't see it again until they showed up in Jerusalem. And when they came out of Herod's palace, they saw the star in the sky, and they were thrilled. And they followed the star, it says, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Now, this is where the story got a little strange for me, too, because, you know, when a star rests over something, it doesn't land on a roof. It doesn't tell you exactly where it is. It just landed over Bethlehem. And I think these men had to go around this little village of Bethlehem, which was a nothing little village. It meant nothing, really, to anybody, and ask questions and find out where this person might be, this thing. They didn't even know what they were expecting. Were they expecting a young man? Were they expecting a wise or older person who was going to give them answers? They didn't know when they saw it. They only looked at the heavens and said, "Something amazing is going to happen. We got to go figure it out." They went to Herod's palace first, which is where you might find the answers. But the answers, it turns out, is in this little town of nobody. And they go, finally, they hunt around, I imagine, and they come to this house where somebody said, "Well, there was a child born there a while ago. This family is not from here." The story tells us that they went into a house. That's what tells us that they'd been there for a while. No stables here. They went into a house, and they found the child. Not a baby, not an infant. It's a child at this point, toddler maybe, 1 or 2 years old, and his mother. And once again, my light bulbs go off, and I say, what on earth would somebody coming so far think they're going to find in a little toddler running around in diapers? What on earth were they looking for that they would get there? And the scripture tells us that they bowed down in front of this baby and they worshiped him. And my mind goes, why? Why on earth would these knowledgeable, wise men, we don't know how many, and we don't know what their names were, despite what tradition tells us, any wise men showed up, And tradition has given them names, but there's no names. They're just wise men, magi from the east, and they show up and they fall down and they worship this young baby, this young infant. Why would we? What could that possibly mean for us? And this was my aha that I needed to get this week. The United Church is not prone to making altar calls, to calling people up and saying, profess your faith, you know, in your Lord and Savior. We don't do that. We do it in different ways. But I'd say if I were going to make an altar call today, this is what I would say. If you want to have any light in your life, and we want any light to come in the world, it will come in this way. It will come in this child who is simple and profound at the same time, who knows how to express their feelings in all their abundance, but who is innocent, who can only be light in these moments. We don't go to big leaders. We don't seem to trust them. We don't go to kings and rulers and presidents and prime ministers. We don't seem to trust them, but we trust the child. And if you were going to do anything this year that is going to help you move in the journey throughout this year, maybe you could open up your life to that child. To open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your soul to a child coming in, if you can imagine it, a child coming in who is pure light and pure innocence and pure simplicity. And that light might shine inside your life in such a way that it would reveal anything in your life that needs light. Any darkness in our lives that needs to be addressed. Anything that we need to be working on in our lives that needs the light of Christ to reveal it to us so we can work on it. And then if, as that child works in our hearts, one of my favorite poems starts this way. One day, I sat down inside myself. But what if today Christ sat down inside you, that tiny child, and revealed to you what that child wanted of your life and said to you, I see this. You are not caring for yourself well. You are not caring for creation as God intended it. You are complicated a life and you need to simplify. And the world will need you to do the work to create a world that generations can live in. And if you sit and you ponder that child is revealing to you what needs to change in your life, then that's what Epiphany is all about. It is a revelation. It is the thing that changes your life. The thing that says everything that went before now has changed because I see it in a new light. My life has changed because the light has come into it and revealed to me what I need to do. That is the journey into a new year. That is the journey of growth in our lives. That is the journey we all embark on when we engage the child of Epiphany in our lives. I can imagine the wise men leaving that place and saying, I don't think that King Herod got it. And I don't think he's going to get it. But they got it. They understood it. They fell down and worshiped that child who revealed something in their lives they had never understood before. And their lives would be changed because of it. The light had come in, and they had understood it. May the light come into our lives at the beginning of this year, and it may it change everything from this day forward. I invite you now into a time of reflection, in a time of prayer.